welcome everybody to episode 81 of High Tech on the Low. Amir, how are you this morning?
I'm very good.
Awesome. Thank you. Here with Amir Rave from Hype Sports Innovation. We're very excited to have you on the show. And as always, we're sponsored by Front Team with its 12 different communities, 6 different verticals, and 3,000 members all looking to connect. And today, we're going to talk about a very fun thing, which is in the world of connecting sports, innovation, digital, and all that stuff. But first, Amir, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing at Hype Sports Innovation, what Hype Sports Innovation is all about.
Thank you, Jordan, for hosting me. I'm a football player.
Okay.
You know, at least still in my mind.
We're talking European football, right? Not American football.
No, very Israeli.
Okay.
Third division, very average.
Okay.
Player, but still, a diehard sport fan. And I spent my last 30 years investing and setting my own company in London,
okay,
which I sold back in 2003. And the last 7 years running with a great team, Hype Sports Innovation, where our focus is sport tech.
Okay. Ooh, okay. What does that mean to you, sports tech? Like, you know, that to me sounds like, you know, okay, sports technology, cool words, but what does it actually mean?
Yeah. A lot of people think that sports tech is like those things you put on your hand which monitor, you know, where you are. Sports tech now is one of the fastest growing industries.
Really?
It's a huge, tens of billion dollar industry.
Sure.
Which is driving or putting sports and the sports activity in a new dimension. And in general, you can look at sports innovation or sports tech in two, I would say, domains. There is this on the pitch domain.
Sure. Like while you're actually playing.
Yeah, playing or, you know, anything to do with enhancing the experience or monitoring or analyzing on the pitch.
Sure.
For professional players and amateurs.
Sure.
And the other side is everything to do outside of the pitch.
Like management, ticketing.
Yeah, fan engagement.
Okay.
Fan engagement in the pitch during match day.
Interesting.
Anything to do with autonomous retailing.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything to do with augmented reality.
Right.
And
that's a big one today.
Metaverse and NFT. And
okay.
Anything to do with enhancing the experience both before, during, after the game, and doing it on mobile, doing it at home when we see through dedicated channels,
sure,
through streaming, or in the stadium, where in the future we're going to enhance our experience dramatically.
Nice. And so at Hype Sports, are you guys working on both sectors, just one?
You know, I'm sharing that one of my biggest mistakes in the last few years was that I wanted initially to start, when we started Hype, is to help startups in the sports domain.
Okay.
And we started with having accelerators for sport tech, you know,
sure,
talking like 6-7 years ago.
Right.
And
giving them support, giving them connections,
yes,
mentorship. Okay.
Yes. And, you know, if you see a great startup, whether it's from Tel Aviv, Paris, Denver, or anywhere else.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for the shout out.
Yeah. you can... You know, you want to help them if they're a great team,
right,
if they have great technology, they're transforming the world of sports, they're creating a new level of experience. You want to help them. And one of my mistakes was that I tried to contact my peers or my other connections around the world. We have a great board and we wanted to help those. And we found it that it was very difficult, very difficult to help those startups, allow them to... Very few people said, yes, you know, if I'm a Golden State Warriors or
right,
if I'm a Manchester United, sure, I'll try this startup.
Right.
Even if it was spot on their challenges.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what we found is that the right way to do it is the other way around.
What do you mean?
Is to work with the brands.
Ask them directly.
Identify their challenges. Identify their needs, their wish list, and then from there to come back to the startups and create this match.
Mm.
When the brand, when the sport team, club, federation, media company is really looking for a solution, whether it's enhancing the VIP experience in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paris Saint-Germain, for example, how many people do you think they have on their VIP stand? How many people can get in the VIP? Give me a number.
5,000.
Ah, not bad.
Really?
Yeah, Americans always think big. You know, okay. Most of the people I talk to, they say 1,600. So 6,000 people can get into their VIP.
Wow.
There is different ways of managing this and different experiences. For example, in the, you know, to look at the future, people ask me, how is this going to change the experience in sports? So for example, I went to a football game in Europe, let's say the Premier League,
sure,
in the beginning of the season.
Or say a World Cup even, right? It just happened.
Yes.
There you go.
But I'm giving a personal example.
Okay,
I went to a Premier League team, Leeds United. I was hosted there. It was great.
Okay.
Great food.
Right. Having the time of your life. Okay.
VIP. Right. Yeah. With my little kid.
Sure.
But I went in. It was very much the same experience as I had 40 years ago or 30 years ago.
Mm. No innovation, basically.
No, nothing.
Like you're getting the drinks, food.
Yeah, drinks, food in the beginning, okay, and that's it. And I, you know, I didn't know the players. I wanted to see some kind of commentary. I had nothing.
Wow.
Even, you know, just a big screen in, you know, which is also not helpful if you're sitting there on the stand. So on the other hand, I had a similar or different experience in Mile High Stadium,
right,
where you get in a stadium in the US,
right,
where you, there is a welcome. On my mobile, I see when I get in,
right,
Amir, welcome to Mile High.
Like a mobile concierge and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then I walk into the lounge and I see on the big screen, Amir, welcome to the lounge of, you know, whatever. That,
right,
you know. And then a lady comes with a Chardonnay. Amir, we know you like Chardonnay. Enjoy.
Wow.
The whole event is different in terms of personalization.
Okay.
In terms of, and then I get a special iPad. Or I can download this in my phone and see in augmented reality. I put it on the players and I can see all the statistics.
Wow.
And their
That's
names.
Actually incredible.
And it suddenly creates a different connection.
Definitely.
Now, you can, the next stage is to have your own commentary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You can, some people like to see, sit and hear their best, I don't know, influencer.
Right.
Yeah, or commentator talking in parallel on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah, you can do it these days and put and make the experience much, much better. In the future, of course, through glass, special glasses, which are already, you know, not far from being introduced. If we're looking at Apple, for example.
Sure.
You'll be able to invite some of your friends and you can watch the game together. Yeah?
Interesting. So like this kind of methodology that you guys use where you're, you know, kind of addressing the brand's issues. I mean, I think it's a great way of doing it. It's a very entrepreneurial way, you know, kind of saying, what's the actual problem? I'm not just coming at it from my idea. What's the actual problem and how do we fix that? So how do you guys, you know, choose your startups then to actually kind of support, right? Because you, obviously, like you said, there's tons of startups out there. A lot have great ideas. But at the end of the day, you need to pick a few that you're supporting.
Exactly. So coming back to my mistake, it took too long for me to understand and for the team,
right,
that in order to help those startups, we need to really get deep into the needs and challenges of the brands.
Mm.
We now work with over 100 brands, including Manchester United and Paris Saint-Germain and the Golden State Warriors and many, many others.
Right.
By really sitting and understanding what they're looking for, what would they like to create? And then coming back to our startups and to additional startups out there in the world, in the ecosystem, and finding the right solution. And, you know, the thing is, the brands, the clubs, you know, Manchester United have like 20 people working in their general, let's call it digital marketing activity.
Sure.
Yeah, something like this.
Right.
It's a lot.
Right.
To really understand what they need, to speak their language. Usually the startups are talking a different language.
Mm, okay.
And our idea is usually to do this matchmaking and to really make sure that the startups are really addressing the challenges of the brands. And once we understood that, then we can really help the brands, but on the other hand, help the startups.
Interesting. And like, one of the things that I kind of want to know, you know, specifically is you guys, I mean, you guys are a global ecosystem, which is like incredible in this day and age. You guys are using digital technologies, I think, much more than a lot of other accelerators to actually kind of bring innovation in. But how do you guys kind of compare and balance out, you know, let's say a company from, I'm going to give up, you know, New York, that has a ton of resources, ton of access to digital technologies, is you know, moving things forward. And let's say a startup from India, which maybe has less resources or isn't as poised to kind of, or positioned to, you know, make a big world kind of a splash. How do you guys balance that out to make sure you're addressing all these kind of startups?
It's a good question. I think that one of the ideas is always to create like a different profiles of brands, of federations, because they also have different needs. You have, you know, the top tier brands and the second tiers. Yeah, the second division in Spain, for example, third division. You know, they're in different position in terms of the wish list and the amount of resources they have. The same with startups. You have first tier, second tier, and third tier startups, which you can help in different manner. In some, you need to focus more on mentorship and support them on the way. Then some, they need more support in resources, in funds. Some needs more. They all, basically, every startup you meet would like money, would like connections.
Isn't that the truth?
And, you know, and yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. But understanding really where they are, what are their needs, you know, enable, I think, us to help them, you know, grow their value proposition and then put them, you know, our uniqueness or the fact where we are looking to make the impact is to really create a safe zone for piloting and testing new technologies for the brands.
Okay.
And with this, we help the startups, because if a startup, let's say, from Bucharest, from anywhere in the world, suddenly has a pilot with Paris Saint-Germain, with any kind of big team in Europe or in the world, that's put him in a different position, helped him to, I would say, raise money maybe quicker, help him to maybe close more deals. And for entrepreneurs, for founders, this makes a lot of difference.
100%. And, you know, you mentioned these kind of these amazing partnerships. I mean, let's be real here. Like, working with Manchester United, Paris Saint-Germain, you know, Golden State Warriors, and the multitudes of others I'm sure you guys have on your roster. I mean, that's a big deal. How did you get these guys originally, you know, to kind of say, you know what, Hype Sports is the place we want to be. We want to be sourcing startups through them. We want to be sourcing technologies through them. How did you do that? Because it seems like it's not just like, you know, you can't just wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what, I think I'm going to talk to the manager of, you know, Golden State Warriors, you know, and just assume that they're going to take my technology.
Yeah, I think, you know, there is a philosophy about the genius zone that each one of us has, yeah?
Sure.
Yeah, each one of us are like four areas of our activities. And, you know, you have our, I would say, unique selling position was that we had the stamina and the grid to continue and create this ongoing relationship with the brands. And it took a while. You know, we are now celebrating 7 years. So with those brands, you know, it's first to understand that they have, that, you know, where they are and what, you know, like any customers, you need to see where their sweet spots, what are their pains. You know, like any business we have now that is listening to this is really understanding the brands. The brands, the clubs, the federations, they are risk averse. They hate to, you know, they say nobody was fired by closing a deal with Cisco. So they I would say are programmed to hate working with startups.
Okay. So you think they don't even want to, in a sense, want to work with the startups?
That's I would say in contradiction to their protecting their reputation and their name. What do you mean? They are like, you know, more than maybe others are very I would say protective.
Careful about the brand, in a
careful
sense?
Careful about the brand, about making mistakes. Everything they do, everything they, you know, they throw has huge impact because of the nature of sports.
Right.
You know,
one technology is wrong and you lose a fan. Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we hosted Tottenham Hotspur here and AS Roma a few months ago. We got, you know, reporters from all over the world calling us, asking. It's like, it's explosive, yeah? And for this, they are very, and rightly so. And for this, you need somebody to, I would say, create this safe zone between them and create a similar, I would say, an environment which makes those two, I would say, different species communicate and create effective, I would say, outcomes. And they do want innovation. They do want, yeah, but it has to come in a specific packaging. And sure, this is what we're doing with the startup. Now, one other element I think is, you know, our vision is to impact people's lives through the power of sports and innovation.
Okay, it's a great message.
Yeah, and it's being done by understanding, I would say, the highest or the global context of sports.
Okay.
You know, if I can be a bit, I would say, take us to a little bit to a philosophical, I would say,
let's get there,
realm.
Okay.
Just for a second. I see that in the world now we have three crises. Yeah, we have crisis of leadership. We have crisis of loneliness.
Uh-huh.
With all the
technology, social media,
and social,
yeah,
and crisis of meaning.
Uh-huh.
Meaning.
What do you mean when you say
meaning? Meaning, I mean that people are looking for meaning.
Okay.
People are looking to be meaningful. Yeah.
And you think sports can give them that meaning?
Yes. And you saw, coming back to your point about the World Cup, you saw what happening with Argentina.
Of course.
You saw the impact on the nation.
Right.
On the fans.
Sure.
Sport is a great place to create this meaningful community.
Well, I love what you're also saying too, because there's an element where a lot of people, you know, too, when you're doing sports, like growing up, I had all these people say, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to do sports? That's nothing. You're going to be one of a, you know, 400 guys make it to the NBA or whatever. You're not going to get anything. But what you're saying in a sense is that you're here to kind of innovate the meaning of sports in a sense, like that it's not just, I made it to the league, now I'm a bajillionaire, I'll get my face on the Wheaties box. It's like, I can have meaning outside of that in many different ways, in a sense. Yes, I mean, is that what you kind of mean?
Absolutely. I think that we are underestimating the power of sports to become a meaningful, to create a meaningful community for people. It's not only that you would like to have, let's take the family, for example.
Okay.
The family is a meaningful, it's not enough for the family to be meaningful for you.
Right.
It's also important for you to be a meaningful for the family.
It's mutual.
It has to be mutual.
Mm-hmm.
The same with fans and sports. And for fans to feel that they are meaningful for the club has to understand that and create a mutual mutual interaction and create specific platforms which create like co-creation platform, like a project which engage really in specifically allow the fans to share their voice. You know,
but this goes back to even how you built hype. You know, I'll be honest with you, because there's an element here. You know, I'm a UI UX guy. So I always tell people, like, define, build, design, test. And testing is talking to the user. And that's what you've kind of done here. You know, you've in a sense, changed the accelerator model. You're saying, let's talk to the people who actually have the problems,
yes,
source the startups accordingly, help the startups still, but help them accordingly. And that's what you're saying here now too. It's almost like you're saying we need to innovate sports.
Yes.
I mean, entirely, it sounds like.
Innovate and create, leverage the passion we all have for sports.
Create new relationships, you know.
By, you know, creating meaningful players. Now, players are also the fans. They want to be involved.
Uh-huh.
They want to impact. You know, all of us in the end of the day would like to leave some legacy.
Of course.
Would like to be heard.
Right.
The same with the fans. Now, some of the teams, the clubs, the federations, do not understand that. They're just, you know, believing that the crowd just will be there.
Business as usual, you could
say. Yeah, but the crowd is getting older.
Right.
The young generation, what they call the Z generation, has different habits. They want to impact. They want to be involved. They want to have a say.
Right.
And if the management will continue to deal with that as, okay, we own the company, we do what we want, and we don't allow the fans to be integral part of what we do, we don't allow them to feel meaningful for us, this will, I would say, impact. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, the owners are here for a few years,
right,
some, you know, and then probably they will go to the next venture. The management, the same. The fans usually
constant
are here.
That's amazing, actually. You said it. No one thinks like that. You know what I mean?
They're
no one
here.
Actually thinks like that.
They're here.
Wow.
And if they are not held, if they do not feel that there is a real way for them to have their impact, this will, I would say, the club eventually or the team will pay the price for that. And part of technology is to create platforms that enable this meaningful interaction and enable the fans to not only, you know, we are moving. If you look at sports,
right,
we are moving from passive sport to more active to more influential.
Interesting. So you see it in kind of three different stages.
So, you know, when I was young, I watched five on TV. So I started black and white, yeah? Right. And I saw, and I just saw this. I saw 5 hours of Wimbledon, you know? Right. Now the it's going from active. So people can, you know, in this World Cup, we could have chosen the angles of the, yeah, you could, you have, you can see this by streaming. You can write comments while with your friends. Mm. It's starting to be interactive. Yeah. It's you're active. Yeah. Mm. You're not just sitting there on the couch.
Right.
You're actively involved in that. The next stage is to actually impact that.
So the next generation of startups have to kind of look at it in this way, is what you're saying. Like, yeah, they really need to look at this engagement and the influence.
Yeah, and impact. So maybe you can do a poll during. You can help giving a feedback on players during the game.
Okay.
You know, I made a list of predictions for 2031.
Okay.
Last year.
I'd love to hear those. What,
yeah,
what are
like
you thinking?
Six predictions.
Okay.
Of what will happen to sports through technology.
Okay.
One of them was, you know, not many people liked it, but that our coach will be replaced by an AI coach.
Okay.
Now, we still have a coach, a human being, but probably he will be the coach advisor.
Sure.
The main coach will be AI because it can see much more. It can integrate a lot of technologies.
Right.
You just probably saw the, you know,
ChatGPT
GPT now, and what this, and this is just just the beginning of a real, I would say,
revolution. It's a revolution.
Big force that is going to drive everything we know to a new level. So the idea is that eventually the crowd will be able to integrate with this AI.
Wow.
and say, okay, this player and that player, and let's vote. And it could be more harmonic. Now, most of the people that are listening to us probably will say, leave us alone.
Yeah.
We love sports as it is. You know, a lot of people are, you know, I mean, what are you doing? You know,
right,
this is killing sport.
Okay.
Allow us to see, you know, why did we need this VAR? Why, you know, this is all interruptions.
Sure.
Let us see. All I'm saying is I'm looking at my kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have 4 kids.
Okay.
26, 23, and 6 and 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have the gambit. You have millennials, you have Gen Z, you have everyone.
Yeah. So they are consuming sports differently. And, you know, we need to understand that. When, you know, I went to see about 3 years ago, I went to see a game in the Premier League.
Okay.
In the London area. I'm not going to do
no
shaming to any team.
Yeah.
And the president there hosted me kindly, but he said to me, I said, I can't find Wi-Fi. He said, Amir, we don't have Wi-Fi here. I said, why? He said, because we want our fans to focus on the game.
And you're like, but guys, you're missing out on the service. You're missing out on the customer experience. You're missing out on the fan engagement.
Yes. And that's, I would say, intergeneration transformation.
Sure. And that comes with all innovation.
Yes. It's more difficult when you have old guys like me controlling the teams.
Right.
So they still view sports as something which is very traditional and very, you know, conservative.
Sure.
Now, this is changing.
Uh-huh.
It's changing because the young audience demand different experience. They want everything quickly. They want short videos. They want the game in a nutshell. They want, it's a different, and I think it takes time, but it's happening.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, you cannot stop the rain.
Well, it sounds like there's this whole digital transformation of the sports sphere is what you're talking about. And one of the things that, you know, we had actually even spoken about prior was this whole metaverse idea of how sports can also be integrated into a much more digital ecosystem like the metaverse. Why are you so bullish on that? Like, why do you feel that that's a direction?
Yeah, I think with all the, I would say, bad publicity that metaverse has currently, and, you know, Some of this, you can argue if it's right or wrong. I look at trends.
Okay.
And I look at vectors. Coming back to the conversation we had about community.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The metaverse as a platform, as a medium, is, you know, using blockchain, which on itself is, I would say, a technology. We talked about AI. Blockchain, I think, is another brick in the wall, which takes us to a new dimension. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of virtues that are unbelievable, mm-hmm, and are really needed. So blockchain, okay, is here to stay.
Sure.
I would say, building on that blockchain technology, Web3 technologies, including metaverse, will enable the communities to evolve, mm, and to communicate more effectively. And the experience there, especially for our kids, for the young generations, will be by far better than what it is now. Now,
you so can, the innovation is going to be driven by the fans, basically. That's, yes, really where it's coming from.
It's always there. So okay. I would say in sports now, in the last, I would say, 10 years, if you would have count on the sport teams to do the change, nothing would happen.
Okay.
Because especially the big ones, they earn great money. They don't need to change shit.
Why do they need you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
The it's coming. Yes, and the gamers and the esport guys. This is all the, I would say, the building blocks which will create eventually a huge experience on the metaverse. Now, yes, the technologies are not here yet. It's not going to happen tomorrow.
Okay.
But if you and I are going to speak, I would say, 5 years, 7 years, we will be able to put our glasses, special glasses, which will be, you know, look like this glasses almost.
Right.
And we'll be able to jump between,
Wimbledon and a game in, exactly, you know, Paris and exactly, whatever. Sure.
Yeah, and okay, really be present. Yeah. Wow. I'm not talking about the impact on education and the fact that you can walk in Egypt, you know, 3,000 years ago.
Sure.
So it's happening. Now, again, when I speak to people in my age, they say, I don't like it. It's not about liking it or not. It's like, say, I'm against the rain. Yeah, it's happening. It's here. It will take longer. It takes more time for the innovation to, I would say, to be ready. But
sure,
eventually it will create a new dimension, not for everybody, but it will grow and it will be another place where communities and meaningful communities can be present. And for teams now to totally ignore it, I think it's a big mistake. Teams, sure, clubs, yeah? You need to start, you know, Liverpool just did an NFT project.
Okay.
Which was not regarded as a very successful project.
Okay.
Liverpool.
Sure. They're also doing it at a terrible time for NFTs, but okay.
Could be.
Yeah.
But they did started getting their hands dirty and playing in this industry and understanding the pros and cons, understanding the processes, understanding the language, understanding the culture.
Mm.
I think it's important, you know, most of the people think that if they think about it, it's enough. Yeah. It's not enough to think about it. It's not about to hear about it. The idea is what we do on a regular basis, we work with those teams, second, I would say first tier, second tier, third tier clubs, teams, federations around the world, to help them test new technologies, try it, you know, play with it, pilot it.
Start. You're holding their hand a little bit through the process.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's create a huge, I would say, brainstorming process. Internally and allow them to start seeing what is good for us, what is not good. You know, Tennis Australia, for example,
sure,
is a very good example of NFT project on the metaverse.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if many people know, but, you know, Tennis Australia, the Australian Open, did 7,000 balls, which, okay, you could buy.
Okay.
Each ball represented a square on the tennis pitch.
Okay. So you could actually own the tennis pitch. You could own a square.
Yes, you own a square.
Wow.
Virtual square.
Okay.
Now, if one of the winning balls was on your land,
you get it.
You get additional utilities available for you. Each ball was designed by totally different, probably by AI. Now we know how, you know, this can be done, but beautifully designed.
Sure.
And these 7,000 balls were, I think they bought them like in 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was, you know, this anticipation to see if your land will have one of the winning shots. Yeah.
Interesting.
So if you think about creating a, you know, a project like this, which has on one hand the anticipation, the gamification, the creativity.
Community.
The community, the meaning, the, you know, it has, that's something that very rarely can be done with old technologies.
You know, it's interesting too what you're kind of saying here, because what I really see is that we're in a really exciting time in sports, because you're at a time where kind of, don't take it the wrong way, the older generation is kind of getting out the door, but is having a moment where they have to kind of adapt to the new generation. And the new generation is coming in strong and saying, we have our wants, we have our needs, and if sports is going to continue to really impact our lives, you have to adapt. Now, we're getting towards the end of the conversation, and I want to ask you a very important thing here, which is, what is Hype Sports going to be doing in the next few years? What are the plans? Because it sounds like you have this vision, and you have the way in which you're sourcing. I'm sure you've had successes along the way, some exits, I'm imagining, from some of your startups as well. What are you guys doing now to kind of ensure that you guys are growing with the teams, ensure that you're growing with the startups and making sports tech better?
As I said, we understand, or we believe that if we want to achieve our vision, mm-hmm. which is to impact as many people using or through sports and innovation, we would like to help those brands, those clubs, mm-hmm. create meaningful communities,
okay.
meaningful relationships, and help our different communities, whether it's the startups, whether it's the founders, whether it's the executives on the teams, the clubs, you know, be in their genius zones, mm-hmm. and achieve their goals using the power of technology and the power of community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we have at the moment about 300 equity and options in about 300 startups, which makes us probably the largest holding company of sport tech companies. On the other hand, we have about 100 brands, right. teams, clubs, federations, which we have an agreement with as we serve them to create their edge and create their innovation leadership,
sure.
and prepare for the future. So I would say for us to increase the impact is by building more communities, serving those stakeholders,
sure.
and you know, and doing our bit in making this place a little bit better, more meaningful. You know, just wrapping up with the idea of sports has more to offer, yeah, than just we play sport or we see sport.
Right.
It's about, I would say, giving people purpose and giving people this joy. Yeah.
Meaning, like what you said
and
before.
And meaning.
I love it. Amir, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, you know, I love Hype. I think you guys are great. So very, you know, cool to hear what you guys are about. And, you know, I have to also just say, as a sports guy myself, like kind of an amateur athlete in that sense, I definitely love the idea of the whole meaning and the engagement. I think you guys are onto something big. So good luck with everything. And I hope to have you on the show sometime soon in the future. We can hear about these developments.
Thank you, Jordan. And please, want to acknowledge you for the work you're doing for your community and for the tech and for the innovation community overall.
Thank you. Thank you very
Cheers.
Much.